We've been looking at different prayers this week, and this morning I'd like to consider with you the prayer that Solomon prayed. Now, Solomon prayed more than one prayer. You knew that? I mean, you know that, right? Anyone need an orange sheet? You remember how Solomon, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, Solomon, ask whatever you want. Now, if God came to you that way, what would you say? Well, that's not what we have this morning, but something to think about. We have a big God, a great, big, wonderful God. Amen. And I think he knew what Solomon needed. And, you know, the Bible says he gives us the desires of our hearts. And I think some look at it this way, that he puts those desires in our hearts. And you know how Solomon asked for wisdom to rule. I don't know how to do this, God. I don't know how to lead your people. And God said, because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to bless you with riches and honor, victory over your enemies, peace. One of the things that Solomon was tasked with, the purpose maybe of his life, was to build that temple. The temple for God that his father had made preparation for. I mean, it seems to indicate that David really brought everything together. Although he was not allowed by God to actually construct the temple, he brought all the materials together. He made the plans. He picked the spot where it would be constructed. And now it was up to Solomon to carry it through. Solomon, now you have to rise up and do it. And after that temple was completed, Solomon prayed a prayer. A prayer of dedication. We find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And it's a rather lengthy chapter, but we'll just read certain parts of it. Beginning at the 12th verse. This is what Solomon does and says. Then Solomon stood, this is 2 Chronicles 6, verse 12. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. Now he had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had placed it in the center of the outer court. He stood on the platform and then knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. Now here we have a picture of here is the king of Israel, and yet he is kneeling before his king. He is kneeling before his God. And now he begins to pray. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it. As it is today. Now, Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me according to my law, as you have done. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David come true. I'd like just to stop there a moment. We've looked at different aspects of prayer, the basis for prayer, and we talked about how we come because God is our Heavenly Father. I think that's what Jesus taught us. But here is another aspect of coming to God in prayer. What is it that you see repeated again and again in these verses? What is Solomon saying? You have made a, what? A promise. You have made a covenant, right? You are a God of covenant. You are a God of promise. And so the basis for Solomon's prayer is the fact that he believes, he trusts that God will keep his what? His word, his promises. That's why it's so good, beloved, as we come to God in prayer. You know, my dad would often say to someone with a need, whether it was physical sickness or other need, he would say, get a word from God. Now, what did he mean by that? Get a word from God and stand on it. Well, find the promise. Allow God to drop a word into your heart of promise and then stand on that promise. And so here, Solomon was standing upon the promises that God had made to his father, David. You know, just to briefly go back, you know, David had in his heart to build the temple, and he had called the prophet, and he had told him what was on his heart. I want to build a house for God. And the prophet said, go ahead, do it, David. God bless you. And then as he was leaving, God said to that prophet, no, you need to go back and tell David he's not going to build me a house. So he returns. But with that word of, no, you cannot build me a house, God says to David, but I'm going to build your house. I'm going to build your house. And this is what Solomon is recording or recounting to God. Lord, you made that promise to my father. And now, Lord, fulfill your promise. Let your word that you promised your servant David come true. And we know that that promise was not just for the earthly kingdom, but it extended to Jesus Christ. And so that son of David reigns forever and ever. What a wonderful God we have. You know, at that time, David's response was, God, who am I? Who am I? You took me from taking care of sheep. You selected my father's house. Who am I that you would make so great promises to me? God is a God of covenant, beloved. God always keeps his promises. The other thing, though, that is important to note here is that Solomon realized that there was a condition. Do you see that? Do you see the condition that God places upon his promise? If only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me according to my law as you have done. How important it is that we learn to obey. We love the promises of God, but God has also given us commands and instructions to follow. He has shown us the way that we need to live and walk before him and to be pleasing in his sight. I'm thankful that his covenant with us is not conditioned upon our faithfulness, but at the same time, we do not trample under feet the blood of Christ. We do not receive the grace of God in vain. Our sister here asked for last night for a greater fear of God in her heart. I thought, what an amazing prayer that is. When was the last time you prayed that? When was the last time I prayed that? God, give me a greater fear of God. And so, yes, God is a God of covenant. God is a God of grace and mercy. God keeps his promises. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and unrighteousness. Let's remember that. The grace of God is not an excuse for sin. I think this chapter, if you take the time to read it, as Solomon continues to pray, he lays out different scenarios, is that maybe, or situations or things that possibly could happen. And you know, if we sin and if we turn away from you and you send a famine or drought, but then we turn back to you and we pray towards this temple and we repent, God, hear from heaven and forgive us. And so he has that understanding about God that, yes, God is a God of mercy, and that there is times that we will not fulfill in God's will, that we will sin, but that God will forgive when we what? When we repent, when we turn back to him. And so time and time again, or he goes through this and different places, and if we're taken captive because of our sins and the enemy comes and takes us to a foreign land, but if in that foreign land we turn and we pray towards this temple, we turn our face back to our God, God, you will hear and you will forgive. And so I'm so thankful that, yes, even in the Old Testament, we have this understanding. God presents himself as the God who is merciful. But I believe that that mercy in some ways is conditioned, or the way we receive that mercy is conditioned upon our turning to him, returning to him. Let me just continue here. Got a little bit ahead of myself, but let's read from the 18th verse where it says, "But will God really dwell on earth with men? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and to his plea for what? For mercy. O Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." And as I said, when a man wrongs his neighbor and so on, when your people have been defeated, when the heavens are shut up because there is no rain, when famine or plague comes to the land, all these different conditions that may befall them, and it did befall them and will befall us if we turn, if we return to our God, if we pray toward this temple. Now again, that's for us, we're not praying to the temple in Jerusalem. But even Daniel did, right? In the Bible. He opened his, when he was in Babylon, what did he do? What did Daniel do in Babylon? He opened his windows to heaven. He knew this prayer that Solomon had prayed. So he opens his windows to heaven and he says, "God, forgive your people. Forgive us." He claimed God's promise. He knew that God had said 70 years. And he said, "God, 70 years is coming. It's up. Its time is now. You've promised." And God heard his prayer. And the people returned from captivity. Let's go down towards the down toward the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 40. It says, "Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, O Lord God, and come to your resting place. you and the ark of your might. May your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant. It's interesting that he asked God to open his eyes and for his ears to hear. I think oftentimes prayer is somewhat, well, the expressions of prayer are somewhat more for us than for God. I don't know if you understand what I mean. I'll try to say that again. Does God know our need? Does God see our condition? Are his eyes open? Are his ears open? Yes, they are. And yet I think for us sometimes we need to express again the desire. Think of the blind Bartimaeus. He came to Jesus. He was crying out, "Son of mercy, have mercy on me," right? Or "Son of David," I'm sorry. "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want?" Did Jesus know his need? You think that Jesus knew Bartimaeus was there at the back of that crowd even before he cried out? I think so. And yet he wanted Bartimaeus just to express it. Other places, another man came, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" "I want to receive my sight." And it seems that that is our part in the prayer. Yes, God, you can say, "Well, God, why doesn't God just fix everything? You know, why doesn't he just do what he needs to do? If he knows, why doesn't he just do it?" Because he's waiting for us to look up to him and to cry out to him and say, God, I need you. I need you to open my eyes that I may see. I need you to change my heart. We heard that this. I need you to transform me. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. So we come and we express that need to him. His ears are open. His eyes see. You know, Jesus in Matthew 6, in that Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Father knows. Father knows. Father sees. You don't really have to worry because your heavenly Father knows all about it. He sees where you're at, knows your need, and he will take care of you." And so these thoughts, again, they come somewhat together. Yes, the God who, you know, there is no God like you in heaven. The God who made everything, the God of creation, takes the time to become very personal with you and with me. And stoops down and says, "I know all about you, Albie. I know everything about you. I love you, I made you, and I'm going to take care of you." What wonderful promises we have in God's word. "I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we may say with confidence, boldly, the Lord is my helper." And so we look at Solomon and we see he had an understanding of this God. You know, Solomon is a interesting, well, his story in the Bible is somewhat sad, but the beginning, the wonderful beginning that he had is such an encouragement. I mean, when you think about the situation that brought about his birth, and how out of that failure on the part of David, God somehow redeemed that. I'm not excusing David. I'm saying that God redeemed David's failure, sin. And he gives Bathsheba and David another child. And God names the child. Did you know that? And the child name is loved by God. Jedediah. So I think David must have taught his son Solomon about the mercies of God. That God is a God who forgives. And God is a God who redeems, and God is a God who restores. And he has made a covenant, not only with us or with his people, he has made a covenant with his son. And Jesus shows his hands, his wounds, and he says, Father, forgive. Father, forgive them. I died for them. I gave my life's blood for them. And so Jesus is interceding now for you and for me. That covenant has been sealed with the blood of his son. The New Testament. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have a God who keeps his promises. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. How did God respond to this prayer of Solomon? May your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in your goodness. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His mercy, His love endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So maybe it would be good this morning if there's something upon your heart, maybe a need, a request. Has God given you a promise? Is there a promise in God's word for that need? Or maybe it's just again this morning that God wants to remind you that he forgives and that he redeems. The enemy would like to remind us of our failures and our past and our sin. But God completely covers the sin. God says, I remember your sins, what? No more. No more. He chooses to place them, as it were, behind his back. He chooses not to remember. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. They're underneath the blood.
Sing together 161 in our hymn book, 161.
Thank you, Lord. Sister Martha, pray with us, please.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we're so glad that we can stand on your word, that your word will never fail.
Amen.
Lord, we raise our faith today to believe you, even as you have promised, as beholding you, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. Lord, we take it by faith.
Yes,
we believe you have promised it for each one of us. Keep our eyes on you, Lord, that we may be changed and be ready for your appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.